Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ. 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. If you're listening to our show on the internet today, you may not be aware that the station has been knocked off the air on the radio because the transmitter was struck by lightning in the recent storm. A new circuit board is needed, which costs over $2,000 for the part alone. And there could be more damage, as the engineer is still assessing the situation. You can help get KNSJ back on the air, aired across San Diego and Imperial counties, by making a donation at knsj.org. We hope you enjoy our show today, which includes some recent local and national news, as well as some of our favorite Best of East County features. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
This is Gene Carpenter with a Capitol Report. Going far beyond rounding up undocumented immigrants, President Donald Trump is now backing a bill that aims to cut legal immigration in half. It proposes a skills-based immigration system that includes English proficiency and job skills, also prohibiting immigrants from bringing any family members here except for spouse and minor children. The RAISE Act, which stands for Reforming American Immigration for a Strong Economy Act, has requirements that are so strict they would have barred President Trump's own grandfather from coming to America since he did not speak English at the time, as well as prohibiting ancestors of many other cabinet officials entering the U.S., the Washington Post reports. The RAISE Act imposes a grading system for new immigrants to be judged on their median salary, advanced degrees, ability to speak English, skills needed by the economy, and whether they can afford to buy health care, CNN reports. The bill was introduced by Republican Senators David Perdue of Georgia and Tom Cotton of Arkansas. That's a far cry from the promise on the Statue of Liberty, which reads, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free." Trump's top policy aide, Stephen Miller, called the measure a major promise to the American people to push for merit-based immigration reform that protects U.S. workers, protects U.S. taxpayers, and protects the U.S. economy, and that prioritizes the needs of our own citizens. But Wired.com reports that leaders of major high-tech companies oppose the measure and believe it will harm, not help, the U.S. economy by making it hard to fill the many jobs in their high-tech businesses, since top workers won't want to come here if it means splitting up their families. Todd Schult, president of the bipartisan immigration lobbying firm FWD.US, founded by Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and other tech industry leaders, says PayPal co-founder Max Levchin, who arrived in the U.S. as a refugee granted asylum, says, "We should make it easier for people to come here and contribute, not just eliminate the family-based immigration system and pretend that's a more merit-based system." He adds that this measure would severely harm our economic growth and eliminate our greatest global economic competitive advantage, our ability to attract the best and the brightest. By forcing even legal, highly skilled immigrants to separate from their families, the bill would likely result in more immigrants bypassing the U.S. to settle in Canada, where new visa programs have made the nation a haven to tech entrepreneurs choosing Canada over the U.S. AOL co-founder Steve Case observes that 40% of Fortune 500 businesses were started by immigrants and their children, adding that the RAISE Act could repel the very talent that we want to attract. Some assert that the measure is motivated not by economic incentives, but by racism. The RAISE Act bears close resemblance to proposals touted on anti-immigration organizations, including such listed as hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Those groups were the brainchild of John Tatton, who has touted racism and anti-immigrant policies. He has advocated passive eugenics, argued that Hitler gave eugenics a bad rap, and has been funded for nearly four decades by groups advocating racially oriented population control. The RAISE Raise Act, however, may well be quashed by Congress. CNN reports that the bill is a long shot that has drawn opposition from both Democrats and Republicans. Congresswoman Susan Davis, a San Diego Democrat whose district includes much of East County as well as San Diego communities, issued a statement denouncing the Raise Act. "We've long been told that this administration's hateful rhetoric about immigration is only aimed at preventing illegal immigration," she states. The Congresswoman concludes, "This is a clear sign that the president has no intention of bringing forward comprehensive immigration reform that creates legal, streamlined processes while acknowledging the immense value that immigrants bring to our communities."
The 1.4 million Californians who buy health insurance through a state exchange could see a rate increase of 12.5% next year if state regulators approve a proposal released by Covered California on Tuesday. The agency also announced that Anthem is pulling out of 16 regions, but says the change is mostly offset by Blue Shield, Health Net, and Oscar expanding into new regions. Attorney Dina Mendelson with Consumers Union says it will be important for people to shop around for the best rates when open enrollment starts November 1st.
We're going to see rate increases, but they're not as large as we've seen other years. So there is a strong picture for 2018 that there will be options for them. And actually, if they shop around, they'll be able to minimize any rate increases.
Covered California says 96% of people will be able to choose from at least two plans, and 82% should be able to choose from three or more. But it warns Californians could see rates go up another 12% or so on average if the Trump administration follows through on a threat to stop making cost-sharing reductions payments to the insurers. Covered California says it has negotiated a workaround whereby the cost-sharing reduction increases will only affect those with so-called silver plans. And Mendelson says the people in those plans may get extra help from the feds to pay their premiums.
But it is important to note that many consumers do qualify for premium subsidies. And since those subsidies are based on the silver plan, then many consumers will actually be sheltered from the largest of these increases.
The proposed Covered California increases must still be approved by the Department of Managed Health Care and the State Department of Insurance. Both departments are taking public comments on their websites through the last week of September. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Residents in Lake Morena Village are fired up over dangers posed by illegal sky lanterns, also known as Chinese lanterns, launched in the area in recent weeks. Sky lanterns are illegal in at least 30 states, including California, due to fire dangers. Claudia Miller-Bragg, moderator of the Campo Lake Morena Neighborhood Watch Forum, says she found a sky lantern in her yard about 3 months ago. In the past couple of weeks, she told us, community members have seen four more sky lanterns, usually on Saturday nights. The Lake Morena Fire Station's captain has advised residents that if a sky lantern lands in their yard, they should pick it up with gloves, put it in a bag, and call the fire department. If you see a lantern being lit or leaving a property into the air, call 911, since this is a crime and a hazard. Our East County Magazine investigation in 2012 resulted in removal of sky lanterns for sale at Walmart stores and issuance of a warning by the state fire marshal and San Diego fire officials that sky lanterns are illegal under local laws as well as state statutes. But use of the devices has persisted here and elsewhere, putting public safety at risk. A sky lantern includes a candle sent aloft beneath an open cloth canopy, much like a hot air balloon. Sky lanterns have actually caused many fires and other problems. For instance, a fire last year damaged a fourplex housing unit in Santa Rosa, California, after a sky lantern landed on the roof. A sky lantern landed in a recycling facility in West Midlands, England, causing 6 million British pounds worth of damage. A sky lantern released to celebrate a wedding in New Zealand set a house on fire. A wildfire caused by a sky lantern in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, burned 800 acres. In England, a boy was burned by hot wax from a sky lantern. In addition, three cows in England died after ingesting wires from fallen sky lanterns and suffering internal bleeding, showing the dangers sky lanterns pose to livestock and pets. A Michigan family had injuries from veering to avoid a sky lantern that fell in a roadway. In Alaska, an airport had to reroute flights after sky lanterns posed mid-air collision risks. On the Campo Lake Morena Neighborhood Watch site, residents voiced anger at whoever has been releasing the flaming lanterns and hope that the culprit or culprits will soon be caught. Miller Bragg says that a fire caused by a sky lantern could burn down the Lake Morena village. Anyone who starts a fire illegally could be imprisoned and forced to pay restitution to victims. Some Lake Morena residents wonder if releasing the lanterns may be intentional acts of arson, but others think the culprits are simply ignorant. One resident observed, "Too bad there's not a vaccine for stupidity." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Valerie Watts.
This is East County Magazine's Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities.
This is Gene Carpenter with East County Magazine's Tribal Beat Report. An agreement to grow, manufacture, and distribute commercial cannabis products is being forged between GB Science, Inc. and the Los Coyotes Band of Coahuila and Cupiné Indians. The Los Coyotes Reservation is located in a mountainous area near Warner Springs in San Diego's East County. According to a press release, this is the first time a publicly traded U.S. cannabis cultivation company and a federally recognized Native American tribe have announced a commercial marijuana venture in California. GB Sciences will build facilities on the tribe's land, and the tribe will receive 40% of the net profits. 10% of the tribe's portion will be used to fund education of the tribe's children and assistance programs for tribal elders. Los Coyotes Tribal Chairman Shane Chaparosa said, "In addition to producing much-needed revenue and jobs for the tribe, the partnership will confer a distinct benefit to patients as we work with GB to develop strains with great therapeutic value." GB Science's John Poss said, "The tribe and its leadership are ideal partners for GB Sciences. We share the same attitudes towards the business, the same intentions for the quality of the product, and the same positive goals for the tribe. It is difficult to imagine a better way to enter the gigantic California cannabis market. GB Sciences, which is based in Nevada, produces both medical and recreational products. The deal between GB Sciences and Los Coyotes is subject to a finalized agreement between the parties to be executed in the near future, with initial funding provided by GB. The tribe and GB indicate that licenses will be sought pursuant to California's new cannabis law. While medicinal and recreational cannabis, or marijuana, are legal with certain restrictions under California law, all marijuana use remains illegal under federal law. The Los Coyotes Band is a federally recognized tribe with sovereignty rights. However, it remains to be seen how the federal government may respond to tribal cannabis ventures in California.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Rebecca Williamson with the Crime Beat Report. La Mesa police are investigating a complaint about a peeping Tom at Macy's in Grossmont Center, NBC News reports. A 20-year-old woman says she spotted a cell phone camera held under the door of a fitting room in the La Mesa department store where she was trying on clothes last Thursday, July 28th. She told authorities that she spoke out to object and the intruder's hand quickly withdrew the phone. But when she came out of the dressing room, the peeping Tom was gone. She reported the incident to store personnel and to the police. There is no description of the suspect. However, La Mesa police detectives are examining surveillance footage of everyone who was in the store during the time frame when the violation occurred. Police are asking anyone with information on who may have taken illicit photos in the Macy's dressing room area to please contact them. Macy's has issued a statement condemning the inappropriate action, adding, "The safety of our customers and associates is our top priority, as this is a police matter. We are cooperating fully with law enforcement as they conduct their investigation."
Community members across East County are pulling together to help two families who have been devastated by last week's crash of a big rig truck that lost control and struck multiple vehicles on State Route 125 in La Mesa. A GoFundMe page called Cherishing Christina was started by Sasha Sanchez, a licensed vocational nurse who witnessed the collision, which happened right in front of her. Sanchez was on her way to work at a mental health facility and had never faced a real emergency before, but knew her medical training would be needed. So she pulled over and rushed to help. When she discovered 6-year-old Christina Adaras in the wreckage, Sanchez recalls, she had stopped breathing and was brought back after I performed CPR. The little girl from Santee suffered a broken neck and has undergone surgery. Christina's mother posted that her daughter is making progress and is now able to kick her right leg and move her right hand, but she faces a long road to recovery. Making matters even more difficult for her family, Christina's mother, grandmother, and sister were all in the car and suffered minor to moderate injuries as well. The Good Samaritan nurse who saved Christina wrote on the Cherishing Christina page at GoFundMe, "Please help me to provide assistance to supply the funds she will need to aid her into being able to walk again." A second GoFundMe page has been set up for Jennifer Campbell's family. The 29-year-old Ramona woman and her mother, Nancy Bowerlin, were both killed when their vehicle was struck by the truck. Campbell leaves behind a husband and 3 young children, their son and daughter, Dylan and Ariana, and Jennifer's stepson, Jordan. The site was started by Tiffany Lynch, who recalls Jennifer Campbell as a beautiful and loving woman with an amazing spirit. So far, nearly $4,000 have been raised for Christina and Doris, and more than $5,000 for the family of Nancy Campbell, as East County residents showed their generosity to these local families in need. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Jonathan Getz with our Green Scene Report. San Diego is known for its many hiking trails, but sometimes you want to know what you're getting into before you make that trek. Or maybe you just want to see if the view really is as spectacular as the photos. County Parks and Recreation and Google have joined forces to help give you a glimpse of local trails before going. Soon, there will be select trails highlighted on Google's site with 360-degree views. Here's how it was done. In April, the County Parks and Recreation Department deployed the Google Trekker Kit to Agua Caliente County Park. A ranger completed a lengthy training and test, and then he assembled the 40-pound pack before taking it out in Moonlight Canyon. The 360-degree camera at the top of the pack snaps images every 2 seconds, capturing real-life trail experiences that can be viewed online. A complement to Google Street View, Google Trekker takes users off-roading through some of America's most popular outdoor venues in a virtual environment. The pack began its journey in the desert, traveled through the Mountain Borrego Preserves, collecting footage of Santa Isabel East and West and Vulcan Mountain, then into Ramona with stops at the Ramona Grasslands and Barnett Ranch. Central San Diego destinations included Gooden Ranch, Sycamore Canyon and Los Peñasquitos County Preserve. Lakeside area destinations included Lindo Lake County Park, Lakeside Linkage, Oak Oasis County Preserve, and both Flume Trails. North County destinations included San Alijo Ecological Reserve, Guajome Regional Park, and Wilderness Gardens County Preserve. A total of 10 rangers wore the pack, collecting images of 14 different parks and preserves across the region. The equipment is currently en route to Google headquarters, where a team will process and edit the content for online use in about 6 months. Look out for County Parks and Trails on Google Trekker, which will soon be online to help you get a 360-degree view before you go.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ. 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. If you're listening to our show on the internet today, you may not be aware that the station has been knocked off the air on the radio because the transmitter was struck by lightning in the recent storm. A new circuit board is needed, which costs over $2,000 for the part alone. And there could be more damage as the engineer is still assessing the situation. You can help get KNSJ back on the air, aired across San Diego and Imperial counties, by making a donation at knsj.org.
6 San Diego County parks will be closed in August due to extreme heat. Closures take place most years as a safety precaution, while providing Department of Parks and Recreation staff with an opportunity to conduct maintenance such as trail restoration. El Capitan Preserve near Lakeside, Hell Hole Canyon Preserve in Valley Center, Mount Gower Preserve near Ramona, and Wilderness Gardens in Pala are closed August 1st through August 31st. In addition, Agua Caliente Regional Park and Vallecito County Park near Julian are closed all summer and will reopen Labor Day weekend. Fortunately, there are nearly 100 other county parks and preserves to explore during the month of August, as well as trails in state parks and federal wilderness areas. For more information on visiting county parks, you can check sdparks.org. If you do go out for a hike, be smart. Here are some safety tips to follow before you hit the trail. Let someone know where you will be and when you plan to return. Hike with others, never alone. Leave your dog at home for difficult hikes. Even easy hikes may be too much for your dog when the air or ground are too hot. Take plenty of water to stay hydrated. The county's head ranger recommends about a quart of water for every 2 to 3 miles that you plan to hike. Wear sunscreen, a hat, and sunglasses. Take breaks in shade, if possible. Bring a fully charged mobile phone, ideally with GPS, and a map. Wear lightweight, light-colored, ventilated clothing. Bring along a warm jacket if you plan to stay out after dusk. Wear sturdy shoes with traction for slippery rocks. Follow all posted safety rules. Bring ample food, sunscreen to reapply, a flashlight, first aid kit, multi-purpose tool or knife, and a whistle. Don't walk through tall brush or reach onto rocks where you can't see to avoid a too close encounter with a rattlesnake. Carrying a walking stick can also help you avoid stepping on a snake. Finally, know your limitation. Choose trails that match your level of physical fitness. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Gene Carpenter with the Green Scene Report. Where there's a wheel, there's a way, and there are plenty of wheels making way through San Diego County parks and trails. Rangers are now using pedal power to patrol trails, help out at special events, and more through the Uniform Bicycle Program. The bikes and repairs are facilitated by inmates and staff of the East County Reentry Facility, all coordinated through the San Diego County Sheriff's Department's Civics Program. Today, the Clean Green Fleet is 30 strong, with bikes and approved riders at more than 15 locations across the region.
This is John Fistier with an education report. The San Diego Unified School Board unanimously adopted a policy to delete all emails from district servers after 1 year. The board ignored a recommendation made by the San Diego chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists, or SPJ, which wanted the district to retain emails for 2 years, as other large California school districts do. San Diego SPJ spoke at the meeting, raising concern with the short time frame and the fact that district employees will decide which emails are public records. Trustees voted on the new policy after only about 5 minutes of discussion and with no formal presentation on the controversial proposal. A statement from SPJ after the vote says, San Diego SPJ is committed to trying to get answers to outstanding questions and concerns about this policy change, adding, a number of things remain unclear about the new policy. These include, when will it take effect? Which emails are considered public records? Will employees receive training on the California Public Records Act? What will happen to emails that are scheduled for deletion before outstanding requests can be fulfilled? Some journalists have told San Diego SPJ that they have had to wait months for email records. Reporters are concerned that the district could run out the clock on requests deleting relevant emails before they can be released, which could violate the California Public Records Act.
A kitchen fire at Wong's Golden Palace on University caused an estimated $300,000 in damage to the La Mesa restaurant. Wong celebrated its golden anniversary last year after half a century serving up Chinese food in East County. The blaze began around 11:20 Tuesday morning, according to Heartland Fire and Rescue spokesman Mark Casey. Crews from Heartland and San Diego Fire took about 15 minutes to extinguish the fire after arriving to find flames shooting through the building's roof, 10 News reports. The restaurant is expected to be closed for a month or more to repair the kitchen and other structural damage, although the dining room and a cocktail lounge had only minor smoke damage. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Valerie Watts.
As Congress struggles to make the healthcare system more cost-effective, local community health centers are already doing their part, with a focus on prevention instead of treating illness. Studies show that close to half of people's health status is directly related to behavior. Think diet, exercise, smoking, and stress management, and only 10% is tied to healthcare. Yet, according to Dr. Fassi Hamid with the Petaluma Health Center, 90% of healthcare money is spent on treating people's symptoms rather than trying to address the causes and prevent them.
You could never address it just through traditional healthcare, so we had to expand our ability to do so by innovating all these programs.
The Petaluma Health Center handles about 150,000 medical visits a year, but it also refers patients to programs like Petaluma Loves Active Youth, which offers medical advice, exercise classes, and healthy cooking demonstrations. The health center runs a large community garden where anyone can pick the produce and hosts a weekly organic farmers market that accepts food stamps and charges on a sliding scale. An estimated 14% of Americans, or 48 million, are food insecure, meaning they lack access to nutritious, affordable food. In California, Hamid notes, many low-income families are squeezed by rising rents, leaving little money left for groceries, and often the least expensive, most convenient food options are the least healthy.
Fattening foods and sugary foods and unhealthy foods are cheap, and so kids are actually malnourished but obese. It's the paradox of the food insecure.
A study in Petaluma a few years ago of a program that handed out free bags of produce showed families who got them ate better and reduced their body mass index after just 12 weeks. The National Association of Community Health Centers has launched a project with the Medtronic Foundation to document progress on this issue. Its report comes out later this year. For Public News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
If you suffer from arachnophobia, you may not like this story. Those winter showers have brought out more than Mayflowers. The wet weather has also led to an increase in tarantula sightings locally due to plentiful populations of critters on which these giant spiders feast. Tarantulas are turning up in some unlikely places as they roam the region seeking partners during mating season. A Scripps Ranch resident found one of the huge spiders on her kitchen counter, Fox News reports. NBC reports that an Escondido man went to slip on a shoe in his garage when his foot felt something fuzzy, a tarantula curled up inside. Tarantulas are usually docile but can inflict a painful bite. Though they are not poisonous to humans, they do, however, inject small amounts of venom that paralyzes their prey, which enables them to eat not only insects but, in the case of larger tarantulas, also small lizard, frogs, mice, or even rats. Think of them as a rodent control patrol if you find tarantulas where you live. An amorous male tarantula can roam up to 4 miles in search of a mate, so don't be surprised if you spot on a local hiking trail, or maybe even in your own backyard, since they're found across San Diego's inland region. The San Diego Zoo, in a blog post titled, "They're Big, They're Hairy, But Are They Scary?" reveals that tarantulas, though formidable looking, aren't aggressive and generally won't bother you if you don't bother them. They are the biggest spiders in the world, and they are voracious. They're called baboon spiders in Africa and hairy spiders in South America. Some local tarantulas can be the size of a human hand. The largest tarantula in the world, called the Goliath, measures a full 9 inches across. As for those wandering male tarantulas, once they find the female of their dreams and mate, their fates are doomed. Male tarantulas die shortly after mating, but females can live up to 25 years and lay up to 1,000 eggs, perpetuating plenty of future generations of those big, hairy spiders in our region. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jean Carpenter.
This is Rebecca Williamson with a health alert. Summer is underway, and if you plan on traveling, the County of San Diego has some tips to protect yourself and your loved ones from the Zika virus. Zika is now found in nearly all South American and Central American countries, as well as Mexico, the Caribbean, much of Africa, Asia, and the Pacific Islands. The Centers for Disease Control also lists Florida and Texas as areas of risk in the United States. If you are pregnant or trying to get pregnant, do not travel to Zika-impacted areas, since Zika can cause serious birth defects to babies' brains and more. Tell your doctor about your travels. Visit the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for the latest travel recommendations. During your trip, protect yourself from mosquito bites by using insect repellent and appropriate clothing. Stay in places with air conditioning and screens on windows and doors to keep mosquitoes that can transmit the virus out. Use a bed net if air-conditioned or screened rooms are not available, or if sleeping outdoors. Protect yourself by abstaining from sex or using condoms while traveling and after you return. Since Zika can be transmitted sexually, condoms should be used for at least 6 months after a man travels to a Zika area and for at least 8 weeks if a woman travels there. For a pregnant woman, if either partner was in a Zika area, use condoms for the entire pregnancy. After your trip, if you've been to a Zika area, protect yourself from mosquito bites for 3 weeks, even if you don't feel sick. If a mosquito bites you and you're carrying Zika virus, the mosquito can transmit the virus to other people. Keep mosquitoes out of your home, dump standing water in which they can breed, use insect repellent, and wear long-sleeve clothing. See your doctor or healthcare professional if you develop symptoms of Zika, such as a fever, rash, headache, red eyes, joint or muscle pain, and you travel to a place with risk of the virus. Let your doctor know about your travels. Dr. Wilma Wooten, County Public Health Officer, says, by following these steps, you can help us keep Zika from spreading in our community. No local mosquito-transmitted cases of Zika have occurred in California or San Diego County, and officials hope to keep it that way. Since 2015, nearly 2,350 tests of local residents potentially exposed have been conducted by the County of San Diego. 94 were found to be confirmed or probable Zika cases, including a baby born with a birth defect. For more information about Zika, you can visit sdfightthebite.com.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. If you're listening to our show on the internet today, you may not be aware that the station has been knocked off the air on the radio because the transmitter was struck by lightning in the recent storm. A new circuit board is needed, which costs over $2,000 for the part alone. And there could be more damage, as the engineer is still assessing the situation. You can help get KNSJ back on the air, aired across San Diego and Imperial counties, by making a donation at knsj.org.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes
the Heart of Mount Helix, a star party in Lakeside, a dive-in movie and ice skating at Croc Center, Chippendales at Sequan, the Ramona Country Fair, Laurel and Hardy Films with Thelma Todd in Spring Valley, Julian's Fall Art Show, a Ramona Grape Stomp, and Lakeside River Park Conservancy's Once in a Blue Moon.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Cajon Classic Cruises continue each Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. on Main Street in downtown El Cajon. Upcoming shows include Cajon Speedway Family Night on August 16th, Classic Car Appreciation Night on August 23rd, and for motorcycle enthusiasts, the Harley-Davidson Stampede on August 30th. You can find the full schedule at downtownelcajon.com.
El Cajon offers its summer concerts on Friday nights all summer long. The next few shows include Modern Country Music by Patrick Trampas on August 11th and The Heroes on August 18th. For more information, visit downtownelcajon.com.
Lemon Grove Summer Concerts in the Park series continues each Thursday night from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Berry Street Park in Lemon Grove. The lineup includes West of Five, playing rock from the 1970s through today on August 10th, and the Bayou Brothers with Cajun and Zydeco music of New Orleans on August 17th.
Santee's Summer Concert Series is held Thursday night from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East. August 10th is Wingstock Night, featuring a beer garden, foods from Wings and Things, and music from the summer of 1969. On August 17th, Upstream will perform Caribbean and reggae music. Santee's summer concert season ends on August 24th with variety music by the Mighty Untouchables.
Now, for a preview of coming attractions.
The 10th Annual Heart of Mount Helix on August 12th from 5 to 10 p.m. will feature live art demonstrations and art auctions, music on two stages, a juried art show, succulent plant sale, and tastings from top local restaurants atop Mount Helix. The cherished Party on the Hill attracts around 500 guests annually, with funds benefiting the Mount Helix Park Foundation for upkeep of the amphitheater and park facilities. For tickets and the lineup of this year's entertainers, artists, restaurants, and other participants, visit MountHelixPark.org and click on the Heart of Mount Helix link.
You're invited to join County Park staff and the San Diego Astronomy Association for an evening of stargazing and a family campout at Oak Oasis Campground in Lakeside on August 12th. The fun starts with a sunset hike from 7 to 9 p.m. to search for bats and scorpions, followed by an evening of stargazing, campfire songs, storytelling, and s'mores. For reservations and information, you can call 858-563-3600.
What better way to cool off on a hot summer night than at a dive-in movie in the swimming pool at Croc Center? You can chill out in the pool on August 16th starting at 7 p.m. and watch Moana, a Disney movie with showtime at dusk. For details, visit sdcroccenter.org.
Here's another cool way to beat the heat. The Croc Center also offers public ice skating sessions each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., and Sundays from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. all summer long. Skate rentals are available. Croc Center is located at 6737 University Avenue, just west of 70th Street. For rates and details, check sd.croccenter.org.
Listen up, ladies. The Chippendales will be on stage with their all-male revealing review at Saquon's Live and Up Close Theater in El Cajon on August 19th at 7 p.m. and again at 10 p.m. How much will they dare to bear? For tickets and details, you can visit saquon.com.
The annual Ramona Country Fair will be held August 24th through the 27th at the Ramona Outdoor Community Center on Aqua Lane in Ramona. Crafts, carnival rides, contests, vendors, live entertainment, fair food, and lots of fun are highlights of this event. A Western show and the second Ramona Motorcycle Rally are also being held this year. The fair is open Thursday and Friday evening, August 24th and 25th, and all day on Saturday and Sunday, August 26th and 27th. For full hours and details, visit facebook.com/Ramona Country Fair.
Thelma, Stan, and Ollie will be the theme at the next gathering of the Saps at Sea, the Laurel and Hardy Sons of the Desert Association in San Diego, on August 26th at 7 p.m. at Trinity Church in Spring Valley. The event highlights works of Thelma Todd. This bubbly blonde was not only a highly respected actress and comedian, but a longtime favorite of the Saps, featured in several hilarious comedy clips that will be shown.
The Julian Arts Guild will hold its Fall Art Show on September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Julian Town Hall. This is a free event showcasing the work of talented Julian artists. Artworks displayed will include weaving, ceramics, gourd painting, drawing, and mixed media. For more information, you can visit julianartsguild.org.
The first annual Ramona Grape Stomp is set for September 9th from 12 noon to 5 p.m. at the Ramona Outdoor Community Center Pavilion at 421 Aqua Lane in Ramona. To celebrate the harvest of grapes throughout the Ramona Valley, This fun family event will offer attendees the opportunity to squish grapes between their toes in grape stomping challenges with prizes awarded to the best stompers. Attendees can also taste award-winning wine from local wineries and check out food, arts, and crafts in children events. The Ramona Grape Stomp is presented by the Ramona Rotary Club, the Ramona Senior Center, and the Ramona Valley Vineyard Association. Proceeds benefit education and support services provided by these organizations, such as Senior Nutrition Program, College Scholarships, 4th of July Fireworks, the Ramona Boys and Girls Club, and educating the public about Ramona's fast-growing wine region. You can get tickets at RamonaGrapesStomp.com.
Lakeside's River Park Conservancy will present its 11th annual Once in a Blue Moon Gala and auction at the River Valley Equestrian Center on the evening of September 16th. You're invited to help honor partners in conservation and raise funds for science programs for kids. This year's event includes dinner, an auction, and an exhibition polo match. You can learn more about the Lakeside River Park Conservancy and get tickets for Once in a Blue Moon by clicking the events tab at lakesideriverpark.org.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. See you around, East County.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ. 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. If you're listening to our show on the internet today, you may not be aware that the station has been knocked off the air on the radio because the transmitter was struck by lightning in the recent storm. A new circuit board is needed, which costs over $2,000 for the part alone. And there could be more damage, as the engineer is still assessing the situation. You can help get KNSJ back on the air, aired across San Diego and Imperial counties, by making a donation at knsj.org. We hope you enjoy our show today, which includes some recent local and national news, as well as some of our favorite Best of East County features. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. Next up, we're going to be re-airing an interview of ours that we did a couple of years ago with Bonnie LaChapa, talking about the Barona Powwow, which this year will be held September 1st through 3rd.
This is Lynn Manyfires bringing you the Tribal Beat, covering the news for and about our region's Native American communities.
This is Miriam Raftery, and my guest today is Bonnie LaChapa. Bonnie is a recipient of KNSJ's People's Microphone Awards for her community service in many different areas. She is an elected council member of the Barona Band of Mission Indians and an elected member of the Lakeside Union School District Board. And most recently, she was named Citizen of the Year by the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about this year's powwow.
On Friday, we have grand entry at 7. On Saturday, we'll have a grand entry in the afternoon. And we usually do on Saturday the children. So if you like to watch the children dance, you need to come during the day on a Saturday. We usually have the elders later that night on a Saturday night. Yep, we'll have dancing all 3 days. And it'll end on Sunday evening. Oh, probably around 11 o'clock at night, that's when we hand out the prize money to all the winners that have won all the dance contests through the weekend.
Now, it's an absolutely spellbinding event. I've been to it many times. It's held out at the Barona Reservation. If you go past the casino and past the museum, it's there on the left.
Yep, right through the dip and on the left-hand side.
What's the address?
1095 Barona Road.
How did the powwow get started?
The powwow started many years ago. My Uncle Boxy and my Aunt Joan belonged to a dance troupe, and their group wanted more opportunities to share their dance, because it's a social event, too. It's family and friends coming together to dance. And so They started the Barona Powwow on the reservation with their dance troupe. And for many years, probably till about 8 years ago, the dance troupe put it together. It was all volunteers, not necessarily all tribal members from Barona. There were Indians from other reservations. My Aunt Joan was from Oklahoma. They put it together, a lot of hard work, volunteering, spending all year trying to raise the funds. And about 8 years ago, the tribe saw the benefit of it as a dance troupe, and as the years went off, there was less and less people that belonged to the club. The tribe decided to take it over. So now there's a powwow committee, and the powwow committee is made up of about four tribal members, and then with the help of our staff at the casino, we put this powwow together every year. So for me, I'm a newbie. I've only been doing it for about 8 years, but I love it. I will be there all weekend long. It's a fun tradition, being with family and friends, talking about things that happened the past powwow, just meeting people that are out of town, Oklahoma, Canada.
Yeah, now people come from all across the country and even outside of the country, tribes from just about everywhere, I think.
Yes.
What draws people from so far away to come to this particular powwow, Bonnie?
I think with our powwow, they love our event. They love the setting on the reservation. If you've never been to my reservation, it is beautiful.
Yeah, all the oak trees.
And dance competition, the money. We have, you know, a lot of Indian dancers do a powwow trail. So they start in the summer and they'll start with our powwow and then move on to other powwows that are in our area, dancing for competition and money, and it's just a tradition. Mm-hmm. And so,
and they're all in their full regalia, traditional tribal wear, and some fancy dress. And now the powwow is free and it's open to the public. What can visitors expect to see and to experience if they come?
Well, it's open to the public. You will be amazed by the drums and the Indian songs that they sing. It's very moving. We make sure that the drums are super loud. We have, you know, a lot of speakers, and you'll get a full feel of what it's like for you to be in that whole feeling of the drums. It almost makes your heart just, you know, jump out of your chest, the drums. And I love it. I look forward to it every year. 7 o'clock, if you get there at 7 o'clock, you find a seat in our grandstands and grand entry. And grand entry is amazing. You'll see all of the dance categories will come in and proceed in to the main arena, and they'll dance around the drum, and you'll see all the groups. There's fancy dance, straight dance, shawl, jingle, and you'll see all ages, and it's amazing. It's beautiful. And if you've never come, coming to Barona, it's easy. Some powwows, you have a lot of parking and walking. Ours is easy parking. You park in the field, and boom, you're in the arena.
Now, can you tell us, for the non-Native Americans that are listening, the significance of some of the dances that people will be seeing?
The fancy dance would be more like a war dance, something like traditional, like going to war, and the fancy dancers are the real fast ones, the ones that you might be more familiar with on TV. And they have two bustles on their back, and the bustles are what the feathers are attached to. And then you have straight dancers that just have the single bustle, and they move in a slower beat, a slower drum. And we have the grass dancers, who are, their regalia is made of a lot of yarn or ribbon, and they were called in to trample down the grass before a powwow or an event. We have jingle dancers are the females, and they make a wonderful jingle noise.
With bells on the costumes.
Bells on the costumes. When I was a girl, the girls weren't allowed to do fancy dance.
Really?
But so then I think as time grew on, and some of the girls wanted to do like a fancy dance, so an Indian woman, this is the story I've been told, had a vision of a butterfly dancing in the wind and moving around, and the movement of that butterfly gave her an idea to create a fancy shawl so the women can do a fancy shawl dress dance that is very fast and upbeat. And
beautiful. And I've seen that done. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, and it's more modern. And when I was a young girl, we didn't have that at a powwow. So those are amazing. It's given a nice twist for the younger girls who wanted to, you know, enjoyed watching them, the men do the fancy dance, which is really fast.
Are there rules that visitors should be aware of to be respectful of the tribal traditions, such as photography limitations?
Yes, you're allowed to take photography, and most of the time if you ask a dancer to take a picture, they're more than welcoming. The only thing that we ask is that no flash photography during competition, because at night when they're competing, and the flash will sometimes distract them, and they will get off beat, and they're being judged by points, and right. Especially fancy dancers, when they're dancing and the drum ends, they have to end and be motionless at the end of the drum too, or they get points marked down. So
very good to know. But there, during the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, there are some competition dances during the daylight hours, correct?
Yes, there is. There's competition. Our children normally do during the day. So we'll have all our children during the day on Saturday and Sunday.
And those are fine with photography. Anything, as long as there's no flash, you can take photographs.
You can take,
bring your fast film or
yep, bring your fast film and you'll get some amazing shots. No dogs allowed in the arena, and no alcohol or weapons, drugs in the arena.
Or cigarettes,
yes. But outside the arena, mm-hmm. in the camping areas, because we do have free camping too available, mm-hmm. you're allowed to have alcohol out there. It's just not to
so it's
in
a
the arena.
Safe family yes. environment inside.
Yeah.
And in addition, we should add, this is a wonderful opportunity to look at some of the vendors that come. You have all kinds of Native American crafts, foods.
Last year, we had 60 vendors, arts and craft vendors, and then we had 15 informational booths, and we had 13 food booths.
Many of these are Native American crafts, specifically the people that make the Indian jewelry.
And we have arts and crafts people coming from Arizona, from Oklahoma, and they drive. They'll drive all day, and they'll arrive on Friday.
Yeah, I've seen Kachina dolls and moccasins and
all kinds
of things.
To sell their wares. If you do any beading or any arts and crafts, you'll find all kinds of supplies, mm-hmm. beading supplies. There's just some beautiful artwork. And
I do my holiday shopping there every year for certain relatives that love that stuff.
Yeah, and you'll get to have an Indian taco. We usually have regular tacos and we'll have
Indian fry bread,
and you can get that with some strawberries and whipped cream, and it's amazing.
Well, there you go. And we should note that the Barona Band of Mission Indians traces its roots back, 10,000 years or more here, Bonnie?
Yes, we've been around a long time. We were hunter-gatherers. You know, we traveled from the desert to the mountains to the sea. There were no borders. I actually have Kumeyaay family just right across the border that still speak our language, and we've been here a long time. We have a beautiful museum. If you ever want to learn more about the Native Indians here, especially my tribe, we have a museum that's open to the public Tuesday through Saturday from 11 to 5 every day.
And it's a marvelous museum. You've served on the board of that, I understand.
Yes, I am. I'm the co-chair of our museum. It's a small museum, but it's got some really nice exhibits.
Well, that sounds great. Now, is the museum open during the powwow, Bonnie?
The museum will be open during the powwow.
And it's right
on Saturday.
Very close to it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
on Friday and Saturday. It's closed on Sunday and Monday, mm-hmm. but it'll be open on Friday and Saturday.
Well, very good. So people can come out and
the museum will have a booth. They usually have a booth out in the informational area
mm-hmm. well, that's
during
good to
the
know.
Powwow, too.
Now, speaking of information, Bonnie, where can people find more information about the powwow and also about the museum?
If you just Google Barona Tribe, it'll take you right to our webpage. Our webpage is beautiful. We have all the categories out. There's a little tab for the powwow. Just click on the powwow tab. It'll give you all the information about the powwow. And there's a museum tab, and it's really easy to use. And you'll learn a little bit about the history of the tribe, what we do in our government, how our government works, because we are a sovereign nation. It's a good website that we're constantly updating.
Very good. So just Google Barona Tribe for more information. And also, we will have information on the powwow at the website at eastcountymagazine.org, as well as on our calendar section. Bonnie, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, again, this year's Barona Powwow will be held September 1st through 3rd at the Barona Reservation in Lakeside.
This is Gene Carpenter with a health report. The Senate Committee on Appropriations has voted to include an amendment introduced by Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont into an appropriations bill that would prohibit use of federal funds from interfering with medical marijuana patients and programs that comply with state medical cannabis laws. If the appropriations measure is ultimately approved by Congress and signed by President Trump, it would allow state programs to continue the protections afforded to them in the 2015 budget, as well as the 2016 budget and the 2017 continuing resolution. Beth Collins, Senior Director of Government Relations and External Affairs at Americans for Safe Access, said she is thrilled by the vote, adding, with 91 Americans a day dying from opioid overdose and a nearly 25% decrease in opioid overdose deaths in states with medical cannabis programs, it is crucial that states are able to continue without federal interference. The amendment passed despite a letter sent by Attorney General Jeff Sessions asking House and Senate leadership not to block the Department of Justice from using funds to enforce federal marijuana laws. I believe it would be unwise for Congress to restrict the discretion of the department to fund particular prosecutions, particularly in the midst of an historic drug epidemic and potentially long-term uptick in violent crime, Sessions wrote in the letter confirmed by the Washington Post. However, when introducing the amendment, Senator Leahy stated, "We have more important things for the Justice Department to do than tracking down physicians or epileptics who are using medical marijuana legally in their state."
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
This is Hayden Parsley, on the road in Hacumba Hot Springs for East County Magazine. You can take a trip into California's past at the Desert View Tower, a quirky and whimsical relic of the past that is still open to the public here in San Diego's East County. Located just off Interstate 8 at the Incapa exit, the tower is poised on a rocky overlook surrounded by desert on all sides. Built in the 1920s by Bert Vaughn, a real estate tycoon who owned much of Hacumba, this 70-foot watchtower has become a tourist attraction and a local landmark on the outskirts of the small town known as Hacumba Hot Springs. Originally built to commemorate the area's rough pre-highway history, the tower houses a small museum filled with artifacts and oddities of California's history, including our region's Native American, Spanish, and pioneer past. The top floor of the tower is an observation deck, with a coin-fed telescope that provides a breathtaking view of Imperial Valley and the Anza Borrego Desert, though now somewhat marred by a wind farm. In 1950, a gift shop was added around the base of the tower. The shop still operates today and is filled with an eclectic mix of items such as geodes, gems and minerals, vintage postcards, historic and travel books on our region, arts and crafts items such as handmade Tecate tiles, onyx bookends, musical instruments, carved animal sculptures, and more. Roaming this area of the tower are the owner's many friendly dogs that add to the rustic charm of the location. You can also get a workout pumping a player piano while listening to old-time tunes. While I was there, the wind was gusting. It was a bit chilly and I wished I had a better coat when I reached the top. The owner says this is atypical though, and that it is warm and sunny most days. The proprietor, Ben Schultz, has many colorful stories on East County's history, culture, and colorful characters, having operated the site for many years. Boulder Park at the Desert View Tower was created in 1933 by an unemployed engineer, Merle Ratcliffe, who was out of work during the Great Depression. He sculpted reptiles and fanciful animals out of the huge stone boulders. I didn't get a chance to tour these, which will be an adventure for another time.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. If you're listening to our show on the internet today, you may not be aware that the station has been knocked off the air on the radio because the transmitter was struck by lightning in the recent storm. A new circuit board is needed, which costs over $2,000 for the part alone. And there could be more damage, as the engineer is still assessing the situation. You can help get KNSJ back on the air by making a donation at knsj.org. The East County Magazine show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.